This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, baby, here we go. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Welcome in. It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Catch us SiriusXM Channel 158. Of course, the VSiN Watch app and YouTube TV. A million ways to check out the programming here. I'll lay out the particulars in a moment, but we've got to hit the ground running here. Will with me for the next 3 hours. We break down everything happening across sports, but we've got baseball about to get going. Let's try and do some quick hits on all of these upcoming games, beginning with the 4:05 Eastern time starts. First things first, Will, it is the New York Mets taking on the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Right now, Paul Blackburn, -150 favorite on the road. This thing opened about 140 yesterday. Bailey Falter catching $1.23, and that total's 9.5. Would you do anything with this matchup?
Over or nothing. Mets or nothing. I don't like Blackburn. He's been a guy, when he was on the A's the last couple of years, I thought was an underrated pitcher. Undervalued, especially he was a good first five guy. He's had some bad teams. He has not pitched well his year or so with the Mets. He's been injured. He's been back and forth. He's gotten hit really hard. The stuff has never been great. He's been more of a command guy. But I don't like Falter either, so I could see us getting some runs here. I think the Mets will bounce back after last night. So I like the Mets. I like the over. Called a small play on each one. How about you? What are you looking at in this game?
I'm going to go Francisco Lindor. We're going to go over 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs plus $1.08. He's usually really good against left-handers. And as a Mets fan, I just have this weird memory of him constantly putting up numbers against the Pirates. And he seems to do well against them. And the Mets need him to because the Mets are on a 3-11 run. Things not going well for them. We'll talk about the other New York team a little bit later because I don't think things are going very well currently in the Bronx as well for your Bronx Bombers. Also, another player I'd look at for the Mets maybe is Brandon Nimmo, 6-14 lifetime against Falter. And for a lefty, he hits lefties pretty well. I'm with you, though. I think Blackburn gets roughed up. I think the over would be the lean on the side or the total for me. Coming up 4:05 p.m. Eastern in Baltimore, the Orioles and the Rays do in battle. Zach Littell, -105. On the other side, Zach Eflin, -116. Totals 9.5 at Camden Yards. Will, anything jump out to you here?
Eflin's been another guy that I've liked to play in the past, but I got to get off him. He has not been great. Littell's pitched a contact guy. The Orioles, they can swing the bat, especially against righties. And that was an impressive performance. I think it was 6-0 Tampa Bay last night. And Baltimore surges back, scores 22 runs, which you don't see very often in a baseball season. So I don't play a lot of overs. If I had to play anything, I'd play the over. I'm torn on the side just because, again, Eflin is a guy I like. Let me ask you. So I'll call this a lean towards the over, no play. Do you think Tampa's legit just in general here? And what are your thoughts for this game?
Yeah, we'll get into the AL East picture. I absolutely believe Tampa's legit. Caminero has emerged as a superstar at third base. He might hit 40 bombs. That alone takes them into an upper echelon. Brandon Lau has been healthy, and I'll look at Brandon Lau when it comes to player props against Eflin, who's been really bad. 13 earned runs in his last two starts, just 8 combined innings pitched in those starts. And one of those was at Tampa Bay on Monday, where he allowed 7 earned in 5 innings on 12 hits. He's very hittable right now. I think Lau over 1.5 total bases, even money. We'll also go Yandy Diaz, who's awesome right now at the plate, over 1.5 total bases at even money. And then we'll go on the other side for the O's. Gunnar Henderson over 1.5 total bases. We're laying a price, but I like the matchup against Zach Littell, who he has really good numbers against. 7-18, 2 dingers, and a double for one Gunnar Henderson against Zach Littell. So that's where we stand with that game. Another game about to start in 1 minute, so we'll be quick here. It's the Mariners, Brian Wu at the Rangers, and Kumar Rocker. Seattle laying 126. This opened about $1.20, +104 the other side with Texas. That total 7.5. And Will, I am on the Mariners in this spot. I think they have the far superior pitcher, and I trust their offense to get it done because I still don't trust the bats for Texas.
I have the same thought process, the same handicap. I like, well, I usually like them better at home than on the road, but Seattle has swung the bats really well here. So not much more to add. Completely co-sign your analysis and your pick there.
Yeah, and we have to get into the AL MVP conversation because a few weeks ago, you and I were talking on this show. I was ready to bet Cal Raleigh like 22-1. It got up to 30-1. I was going on a trip to New York. I was like, you know what? I'm going to use a bunch of free plays in the New York, New Jersey area to bet on futures. Well, The night of my flight, he drove in 6 runs against the Red Sox, and he went from 30-1 to 10-1. So that's the number I ended up getting on Cal Raleigh for AL MVP. But we'll talk more about that momentarily. We've got about 5 minutes till this game starts, and it is the Cardinals and the Guardians, where Slade Ciccone's been really solid, like shockingly good for the Cleveland Guardians. Miles Michaelis on the hill for St. Louis. Trying to find it on my board. It looks like it was pulled off my board. Nope, there it is. And right now it's St. Louis minus 101, Cleveland minus 120. Total is 8. Will, I don't have a play here. Maybe I'd go first 5 under because I don't trust that Cleveland offense. And I think Ciccone's been pretty good.
Yep, I'm totally with you. First 5 under for me. We'll lean towards the Cleveland first 5 under. I think Michael is smoking mirrors. Doesn't get any swings and misses. Ciccone is, has got decent stuff. So, I mean, Cleveland's not exactly the 1927 Yankees on offense themselves. So this is one where first 5 under would be the play.
All right, coming up here, 4:10 Eastern time, it's the Blue Jays at the Red Sox, where Lucas Giolito may have started to figure some things out for Boston. He's gotten into form, 2 earned runs over his last 3, all 6 innings. He has been pretty bad at home this year, but that was a few starts ago. And he's going to take out a Blue Jays team that doesn't strike out, that seems like they're pretty good. However, I don't know if I trust them in this spot offensively, so I'm going to look at a pitcher prop here. It's Chris Bassitt minus 123, Giolito and the Sox plus at 101, totals 9. Will, I'm going to go Chris Bassitt over 17.5 outs recorded at minus 137. He has gotten there the last few starts, and I just think he faced Boston earlier in the year when they were at full strength, when they still had Devers, when they had Bregman in the lineup, when they had Cassis, and he went 5 2/3, 5 hits, 1 earned, or allowed. I think in this spot, with a much weaker Boston lineup that's on a 6-game losing streak, and they've only scored 16 runs over their last 6, I think Bassitt goes deep into this contest.
Well, I like your handicap. I like that angle. And with baseball, there are just so many ways to play this stuff. So many different markets, outs and walks and hits allowed, strikeout. I mean, there's so many ways to attack a different handicap or a philosophy of a game. It would be Blue Jays or nothing for me. Red Sox have not played well here. You wonder about under the surface what's going on after they trade their best player. That's almost 2 weeks ago now. There was a little, they played okay the first couple games after, but it has not been pretty here the last week or so, as you mentioned. So Blue Jays money line or nothing for me.
All right, we've got a few more to squeeze in here before they get going. Rockies at the Brewers. Antonio Senzatella plus 238, minus 302 now on Milwaukee and Quinn Priester. Totals 8.5. How about a team being favored? Minus 302 and the total's only 8.5. I have a player prop in this one. We're going to look at Bryce Turang at the top of that lineup for Milwaukee. His ability to run and steal bases. I think against Senzatella, he should be on base a couple times. I think he'll score a run with that offense teeing off on Senzatella on the road. Turang to score a run plus 104 is my play. Will, anything you like in Rockies Brewers?
Senzatella is basically about the worst pitcher in baseball. He is getting out of course here, but I think the Brewers will hammer him. So first 5 team total over 2.5 for the Brewers, I think might be a play. I am sweating out Rockies under 9.5 June wins. I bet that, and I bet it and parlayed it with the Thunder to win the title to make it plus money. They are sitting right now with 2 games left in June at 9. So I need them to lose today, lose tomorrow. I thought about taking Rockies +1.5 as a little bit of a hedge just to make sure I get something back. But I'm going to wait here. I'm going to ride it out. I will be a big Milwaukee Brewers fan today.
The Dodgers at the Royals, where LA's on a 5-game winning streak. KC has lost 6 in a row. They've scored 8 runs over those 6, and it's Shohei Ohtani on the hill. His 3rd start, just 1 inning in his previous 2. 1 earned run, 2 strikeouts this year. The Dodgers used 5 relievers last night. Right now, looking in the market, Dodgers minus 163, KC plus 134, where Lugo's been really solid his last 4 since coming off the IL. It's not an official play, but I would take a little flyer on Kansas City plus 134. I know it's crazy with the Dodgers lineup and the Kansas City offensive issues, but this is a spot where the Dodgers used a bunch of guys last night, and Shohei's only probably going a couple innings, Will.
Yeah, you wonder if they're going to build him up to maybe get like a second inning out of him today, but that's not going to change your handicap of the game. It would be Dodgers or nothing for me. I admire the guts to pick the Royals, and at some point, they're just going to swing the bats a little bit better, you think? But that's not a good offense. Outside of Witt and whatever Caglione can eventually become, there's just a lot of weak spots in that lineup. So I wouldn't play the Royals. If anything, I were going to play the Dodgers, but did not play it.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Another game where I do have an official play is Marlins and Diamondbacks. Sandy Alcantara, plus 138 on the road with Miami at Arizona. Brandon Pfaadt laying 168, totals 9. Pfaadt's been horrible this year, Will. Yeah. And Alcantara seems to be becoming more respectable. He's not that guy he was when he won the Cy Young, but it seems like he's getting more comfortable. The power is there behind the fastball. So because of that, I took a half run with Miami in the first five, the old Will Hill special. So first five plus a half. I laid 135 juice, but if this thing's tied up after five, I cash that ticket.
I like that. I'm just not ready to believe in Alcantara. I figure it's probably coming back at some point. Just when you go through these surgeries, a lot of time the command is the last thing to come back. We've seen that. So maybe it comes back here. Maybe it is starting to come back. Pfaadt's a hard guy to figure out because he had that great postseason in 2023, and he was a big time prospect or somewhat well respected prospect. There's this perception of him that like he's a big time pitcher. He's really not.
No,
outside of that run in the playoffs. So over or nothing for me, but I didn't bet it.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys the stat nerds will tell you, like the spin rate, and he's right. Unlucky, and they'll make all the excuses why the results aren't there, except for that means he's not good at pitching. Right. If he can throw hard and he does certain things well, but the results aren't there, it means he's not that good at pitching. So that's where we stand with our baseball plays. All the bets from our show, every show, available at VSiN.com/picks. We've got a big show coming up for you over the course of the next 3 hours. More baseball with Adam Ronis from MB Fantasy Life, Mick Chiarella from Fantrax later on in the program. But coming up next, we've got a UFC fight tonight, and to break it down, one of the best in the business, RJ Clifford, going to join us next. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned in to Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it. It is Live Bet Saturday. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with my guy Will Hill for the next few hours here, live from Circa in downtown Las Vegas, where it's a busy day in sports, right? Everyone was trying to tell you, oh, the basketball's over. That means it's baseball only, and they lied to you. We've got golf going on. We'll keep you updated there. We've got tennis to come this week. We're not far from football, people. It's about to be July, but there's also a big UFC event tonight, UFC 317 going on. And we've got a couple belts on the line, which is always fun to see the excitement, the anticipation, the buildup. And to help us break it all down, we're going to welcome in on the Progressive guest line one of my favorite people in the business and someone that I trust when it comes to UFC and helping us understand what's going to go on between these bouts tonight. And that is RJ Clifford. Give RJ a follow at RJ Clifford MMA, former fighter, now current analyst when it comes to combat sports. And he joins us now on the Progressive guest line. RJ, thanks for doing this, man. Obviously, the big fight tonight, we've got Topura, as my screen is talking to me. Hang on. Sorry, very unprofessional. We've got the big fight tonight where there's a big favorite. And we've got Topuria, I'm going to butcher the name, and Oliveira, where Oliveira's catching 340, Topuria minus 440 as a favorite. Tell us about this matchup, because based on everything I read, Topura's unbeaten, 16-0, 8-0 in the UFC. He's just 5'7" tall. And then Oliveira, he's older, a great grappler, and he's pulled off some miracle wins. Do you think at plus 340 he's live for a miracle tonight?
So there isn't a single fighter hotter right now than Ilya Topuria, right? You got John Jones retiring. Conor McGregor's not coming back. Ilya Topuria is, in my opinion, the best fighter in the world. Now, he hasn't achieved and doesn't have the same scalps as like an Islam Makhachev or some other guys. But he just became a featherweight champion, I think, last year. Defended the belt one time. Said, all right, I'm already done at featherweight. I'm going up in weight class to 155. And he was chasing Islam Makhachev, who is also going up in weight to 170. So he's the hottest fighter in mixed martial arts right now. A lot of people, me included, think he's the best in the world. So I understand why he's such a heavy favorite. But Charles Oliveira, man, I mean, this is one of those rare fights where the fighter with far more ways to win is most likely to lose. Charles Oliveira can knock you out at distance and kickboxing range. He can knock you out in the clinch. He can submit you on top on the ground, on bottom. He's great in scrambles. absolute veteran. He came into the UFC as a teenager. He's now 35 years old. He's been fighting in the UFC forever. And we haven't really seen the wear or tear wear on him yet, right? Fighter shelf life is short, but, you know, he hasn't really shown that the wheels are coming off or that age has really ravaged him. But he is still a massive underdog because people just that high on Ilya Topuria.
What kind of card would you say this is? Deep card? Good card? How would you classify the card we're seeing here?
So this is the yearly international fight week that the UFC calls it, where they'll do like a UFC like a convention where you can do meet and greets and do stuff. There was a power slap last night. There was UFC BJJ on Thursday. There was the UFC Hall of Fame ceremony every year. That was also on Thursday. So it's the one, you know, there's a handful of cards every single year where it's there's something special about it. It's promoted differently. And this is why this super fight was put together to headline this card. And of course, there's the flyweight title fight as well. Alejandro Pantoja versus Kai Kara France, the co-main event. This is the card where they put their best foot forward because it's got the most eyeballs.
I love it. RJ Clifford's with us. Give him a follow at RJ Clifford MMA over on X. And we're breaking down UFC 317 tonight. We touched on the big fight first, but there's another big one with the flyweight championship up for grabs. You mentioned Pantoja minus 238, Kai Kara France plus 195. I'm seeing Pantoja since 2021, 7-0 with 4 wins and title fights, 5 submissions, 2 knockouts. Kara France, the other side. I see people questioning whether he's earned this title fight on social media. Do you believe he has earned this opportunity to fight for a belt tonight?
I think he has, because Pantoja's already beaten everyone else. I mean, he's basically beaten, you know, like 7 of the guys in the top 10, something like that. He's rematched a lot of these. He's beaten several guys in the top 10 twice. And it's next man up. And the flyweight division, you know, it's constantly cycling. And there's a really good flyweight fight on this card as well between Joshua Van and Brandon Royval. There's a good chance that's a number one contender fight. But Kai Kara France, I mean, he's a promoter's dream in the sense that he's from New Zealand. He's from Oceania, which is an area of the world that the UFC really wants to market and get going. That's where Israel Adesanya is from. Robert Whittaker, all kind of from Australia, New Zealand area. He's a knockout artist, talks really well. And he's got the kind of like the Islander motif. He just the big, like pulls his head back and, does like the throat motion with his mouth open, and he's like, he's not like a mean guy, but he's like, no, that's what my ancestors did, and that's my bit, so I'm gonna do it. But Alejandro Pantoja is now finally getting the respect that he deserves. The flyweights, because they're 125 pounds, they don't incite the same visceral feeling as like heavyweights and light heavyweights, but Pantoja has just been steadily for years been the best flyweight in the world, and he's starting to put together one of the most dominant runs in the UFC. We're in an era right now where most champions have only been champion for like 18 months. This isn't an era where there's a lot of like dominant champions. There's a lot of turnover. A lot of up and comers and contenders are getting wins and title fights. But Pantoja has been able to hold on to that belt with the vice grip for a while now.
How do you factor into your handicap when you have a fighter like Ilya moving up in weight? Is that something that how should bettors handle that?
Well, I think that just goes to show you how much people believe in Ilya Topuria as a minus 430 favorite up a weight class. You saw in the stare down, Ilya Topuria has given up, I think, 4 inches in height and 4 inches in reach. Charles Oliveira's broad shoulders, long legs, lanky fighter, but still strong, still with knockout power. And this is a crazy, crazy stat. So when Charles Oliveira fought the former lightweight champion, Islam Makhachev, who was going up in weight, he was only a plus 165 underdog to the dominant reigning lightweight champion. That was just 3 years. That was less than 3 years ago. And now he's a 330 dog to a featherweight coming up who's just won the belt like 45 minutes ago. Like, that's how high people are in Ilya. So to answer your question, it's a factor. It's less weight, because Charles Oliveira isn't really like a weight bully. He's not like a wrestler. To me, it's more height and reach that makes a big deal, because Ilya Topuria, his bread and butter is being in the boxing range, in pocket. He knocked out Max Holloway with the left hook. He knocked out Alexander Volkanovski with the right hook. That's what he does, and you have to get in range to be able to fight like that.
MMA MMA analyst RJ Clifford with us on the Progressive Guest Line, Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I want to ask you about this matchup because it looks like there's some money coming in on Joshua Van. He was minus 122 yesterday, now sitting at minus $1.35, taking on Brandon Royval, plus 114 there. The number for the rounds is set at 2.5, heavily juiced to the over 2.5, minus 215. What do you think of the matchup between these two, and do you think people wanting to back Van is the right call?
This is the most interesting line to follow on the card because Joshua Van fought just 3 weeks ago. He fought at UFC 316 on June 7th, knocked out Bruno Gustavo da Silva, and he got a lot of people's attention. It was one of the more exciting fights on that card. And he's only, I think, 23 years old. It changes every year. I lose track. Only 23 years old and fought just 3 weeks ago. But he has a really, really fun fighting style. He's only lost one time in the UFC, 14-2 overall as a pro. But Brandon Royval is a guy that's fought for the title. He's ranked number one in the division just behind the champion. I think it's a lot of excitement on Joshua Van. He's got a lot of momentum, young, new guy, hungry guy. I'm leaning Royval just because this is a giant step up in competition for Joshua Van. But when you're only 23 years old, you're improving drastically. Like, you are getting so much better quicker than, let's say, a 31-year-old fighter that's been in the game for a while.
He is RJ Clifford. If you want more great analysis on the UFC and all combat sports, give him a follow over on X at RJ Clifford MMA. You're tremendous, man. Thanks so much for doing this. Looking forward to the fights tonight.
Enjoy. Happy Fight Saturday, boys.
Good stuff. Good stuff from RJ. Look, I can't act like I know every sport because I'm pretty basic. I stick to the baseball, the basketball, the football. Sometimes you got to outsource it to the expert. That's a dude who's fought before as a pro, now analyzes it, gave us great information on the fights. I think I'm going to end up backing Joshua Van, though. Maybe I'm steam chasing. Maybe that's not the respectable thing to do in this spot. But I think Joshua Van is the one that I want to jump on here. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. While we were talking to RJ, Will, there was a lot of scoring going on in Major League Baseball. We'll look at the adjustments on how the live odds have moved, but the Mets up 1-0, bottom one at Pittsburgh. The Rays with a 4 spot to start things off in Baltimore, and the Cardinals strike first against Cleveland. They're up 1-0, bottom one. Currently, the Brewers have the bases loaded, and they're up 1-0 on the Rockies in the bottom of the first. And the Marlins in the top of the first, they're up 2-0, and they still have the bases loaded. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the vibe is a lot of my bets are doing well to start, Will, so I feel good about the day.
Nice start. Can only go downhill from here, I guess. No, good start so far. Got a bunch of runs in some of these games, so boy, we got plenty of baseball. I usually do the shows on Saturdays at this time slot, and we mentioned how it's all condensed. 10 games at 4 o'clock Eastern, only 5 in the other spots combined. Very condensed here.
I'll point out, I celebrated the Rays being up 6-0 last night in the second, and that didn't do well for me. How are the Yankees doing? We'll check in on our friend Will Hill next. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it, live from downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Sportsbook. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with Will Hill for the next couple hours here as we take you through a wild action of Major League Baseball. We've got 10 games currently going on. We have an NBA trade we have to touch on. I have to get Will's thoughts on the NBA draft and what's going on with Ace Bailey and maybe some early Rookie of the Year numbers that jump out to us. And we're less than 60 days till college football starts, and our NFL guide will come out Tuesday. More on that later. So a lot happening. Despite people acting like this is the slow time of year, it's not slow in this studio. Pause. I am in the studio. But I'd say there's a lot happening with baseball. Baseball's starting to get a little juice. Baseball's becoming fun. And I think we have some races that we'll touch on, Will, here during the show that are jumping out to me where I think there's some value plays on teams that are currently fighting for either first place, fighting for a wild card spot. But it does feel like there are a lot of teams in the mix. I want to get some score updates in here quickly because a lot's gone on since the show started. In Baltimore, Camden Yards, it's the Rays all over Zach Eflin. I don't know what's going on with Zach Eflin, Will. Baltimore traded for him a year ago in anticipation of losing Corbin Burnes, thinking he would be a potential ace. And right. he's a guy who's been up and down, but he has been awful this year. And Tampa's tagging him right now up 4-0 in the second.
Yeah, didn't play it. I mentioned how I would, you know, bet Tampa or the over. Maybe I gave him out as leans. I don't know, but I didn't actually bet it. Missed opportunity there. So I was kind of torn because I thought that Baltimore would hit Littell too. I didn't like Littell, so maybe there's an opportunity here for Baltimore to you know, get back in this game, put up some runs. I do think that they will be heard from in this game with these two offenses and the pitching matches. There's a long way to go, but a good start here for Tampa and Baltimore. They're just, you know, it's funny. For a team, I was looking at the standings, I think, going into Friday's games. 12 games under 500, right around entering July. Usually that team is done. They're only seven out, but they just don't have the arms to make a run. Now, maybe they can just hang around until they get some of these starting pitchers back off the injured list, and they got a million of them. But certainly a disappointing season here for Baltimore, and a disappointing run when you look at a couple of years ago. It's not crazy to compare them a couple years ago with OKC Thunder, where they were a 100-win team, and they were set up going forward. Prospects and young players, they were going to be good for years to come. To say this falling off is an understatement, starting with, you know, the disaster series in the playoffs against the Rangers. Last year in the playoffs, they bowed in two games to the Royals, couldn't hit in either series, and now they're just a complete mess.
Yeah, and on the other side, a surprising year for Tampa. I mean, this is what Tampa does. Whenever we write them off well, they end up performing their best. And a lot's gone right for them. I also think, like, Drew Rasmussen being healthy has been massive. Brandon Lau being healthy has been huge for them, because when he's in the lineup, he's been a guy who's produced in his career. He's just had back issues and other injuries that's kept him on the IL. And the reason I bring them up is because they're one game back of your Yankees, because the Yankees made it 16 straight unders today, losing 7-0 to the A's. We want to do a wellness check on our Yankee fan friends out there. Will is a Yankee fan. How concerned are you with what's going on right now with your ball club?
Yeah, they're not playing well. They're not hitting. When Judge doesn't hit, and Judge is, when he's not in one of those streaks where he's just nuclear and hitting the ball, you know, in the seats basically every other at bat, it seems like there's just a lot of question marks. And, you know, Goldschmidt has really come back down to earth here after a red hot start. He has not swung the bat well. And it's, you know, what can you count on out of Volpe and Jazz Chisholm and Dominguez? It's just not a great lineup around Judge. It's kind of what we thought going into the season about that team. Remember, the market loved this team under all the way down to 88.5, and they were red hot. They were on a 100-win or so pace. Truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I think they'll be okay. Pitching's fine. Bullpen's fine. Lineup's decent. But, boy, you mentioned the 16 straight unders. For something to happen 16 straight times in this climate of betting where we talk about everything, every trend, I feel like this has gone under the radar a little bit. Don't you?
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows that the hitting hasn't done well of late. That's been obvious. But you should also give credit to their pitching. I think their pitching is so underrated. They lost Gerrit Cole. I think Max Fried 10-1 for AL Cy Young is very playable. I think that is a very playable number on him. He maybe won't have like the strikeout numbers, right, that a Crochet or a Skubal has. But if one of those goes on the IL and misses a couple starts, I think Max Fried's a guy who jumps up the board at that point with more innings and more opportunities to accumulate numbers. I think 10-1 is too long on him. And Rodon's been great. Rodon had a bad start a couple times out against Boston, but he's been really good too. Even Warren's filled in well. They have the arms. The problem is the bats. They're very top heavy when it comes to lineup. They're just very, very top heavy. Volpe having to get sent down is a absolute brutal beat, because you were hoping he'd take the next step. One thing that's clear, though, nobody hypes up prospects like the Yankees who don't live up to the hype. Can we be fair about that?
Are you trying to tell me Jason Dominguez is not Mike Trout? He's not the Martian? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It was Jason Dominguez. It was Oswaldo Peraza. It was Oswald Cabrera.
Spencer Jones is on that list. There's a lot of them.
I'll take you all the way back to a guy who I went to Yankee Stadium for his major league debut because my Yankee fan friend said, quote, "He's the next great Yankee center fielder. I want to be there on his debut like my grandfather was there for Mickey Mantle." So we got in the car.
Let me guess.
And we went to see, take a guess.
The next great Yankee center fielder. It was recent.
It was a while ago. It was a while ago. I was living in New York. It's probably like 2004, 2005, 2003.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank. I don't know. Not Melky Cabrera. That's
it was
too young.
Melky Cabrera. It was the Melkman.
It was Melky, okay.
Because he came up as a center fielder, and then, you know, he got that major league money, and he started eating major league meals. That was the problem.
Yes.
So, yeah.
He was a good player. It turned out, I think he made an all-star team or two. Shows you how good that 09 Yankee team. He was like a fourth outfielder. But, yes, your point is correct. These Yankee prospects get overhyped for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Mets fan. I mean, Alex Escobar, anyone? Fernando Martinez. It's a New York thing. It's what we do.
Preston Wilson.
Yeah, a little hyperbolic. I still believe Lasting's millage could have been something, but they used him.
Oh properly. Man, he was good.
Let's stay in the AL East, where the Blue Jays are down early in Boston at Fenway. Red Sox get a 3-run cushion in the second. Currently -392 in the market, +274 with Toronto and Bassett. In-game totals 10.5. Abreu with a dinger there, Will. And Boston needs this badly. 6-game losing streak. They have to figure things out. But you and I were on the air a couple weeks ago previewing a Boston-San Francisco game or San Francisco-Dodger game.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Kyle Harrison, who we handicapped being the starter, was scratched. And then a few minutes later, we found out after we left our show that it was because he was traded for Rafi Devers. I never got your actual thoughts. The Rafi Devers trade, who do you side with? The Red Sox or Rafi Devers?
I mean, I don't want to take Devers' side. I just thought it was not a great return. It didn't seem like they shopped him that well to get Hicks and Harrison. We'll see what the prospects turn into. But that was one. My first reaction reading the trade, I thought it was fake. And then I just kept waiting for the tweet to continue. I was like, where's the rest of the players? Where's the rest of the return? I didn't think it was a great return. That being said, I mean, you never know going forward, but I thought it was a good deal for the Giants. I was surprised the Red Sox did it, as everybody else was. They were playing well at the time. I get it, the contract, and I don't want to hear for these guys with contracts. These owners, you know, all billionaires. If you can't pay one of the best hitters in baseball $250 million over the next 7 years, you know what? Sell the team. But I thought the Red Sox didn't get enough back. What was your take?
I think the Red Sox tried to play the victim, and they did a really good job of that, but they created this whole situation. But I thought they disrespected Rafael Devers. Like, full transparency, I think there's a way to go about wanting a player to do something different, and they just went out and signed Alex Bregman and assumed he would switch positions. Now, would you like your superstar to be a team player and switch positions? Sure, but maybe you could have just included him in the conversation and let him know it was coming instead of making the move and being like, well, why don't you want to be a team guy when you weren't a team guy by reaching out ahead of time? So they created this dysfunctional locker room, this clubhouse, and turned Devers into the guy that he became. So I blame the Red Sox for how things transpired. I would have liked Devers to suck it up and eventually play first base or DH or whatever, but at the same time, I understand him being disrespected in that spot. Hey, if you're serious about winning in football betting this season, you have to check out the VSiN NFL Betting Guide. It drops on Tuesday, July 1st, and we've got a ton of information, in-depth previews for all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, and betting projections. Everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Kick off your season with confidence to get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bet emails, and exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all just for $175. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And Will, while I was doing my prep for a little portion that we wrote up in the NFL betting guide, there is a team that I fell in love with that I know it's unhealthy with how much upside I think they have. Like, I know I'm setting myself up for disappointment and failure this year. Was there anything when you were prepping for things for the NFL early in the offseason that jumped out to you? You went, oh, no, I'm into this team and I'm surprised I am.
There is. So we will get to it here at some point during the show. But I'm excited to hear about your excitement for the New York Jets. It should be fun.
Yeah. No, I will never do it again. When Aaron Rodgers was there, I had Super Bowl bets on them back-to-back years.
Yeah, me too.
And because of that, I will also not be betting on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because my betting accounts have been immunized from betting on the Jets or Aaron Rodgers going forward. Let's get some best bets when it comes to baseball. We'll go big picture as well. Adam Ronis going to join us next. Don't go anywhere. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, live from Circa in downtown Las Vegas. We've got you covered with all the baseball action currently going on. Should update you that in Pittsburgh, the Mets and the Pirates currently in a rain delay. Top of the second, Mets up 1-0, and they have two runners on with two out. We'll let you know when they get back into playing, but interesting to see if Bailey Falter comes back out if this delay ends up being really long. I'm currently looking at a New York Mets rain delay coverage where they're playing videos of like Mike Piazza returning in 07 and all sorts of old highlights of Shea Stadium. It's making me nostalgic for my youth. But we'll go to New York here. We will go to New York here and bring out a guy who is a Mets fan and also knows the New York market well. He's Adam Ronis, and he does a great job from fantasy sports, betting. You can catch him over on X at Adam Ronis and his Dub Club account at Adam Ronis as well. And check him out on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, just a few clicks up the dial from us here. And Adam joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam, let's stick in New York first before we get to some of your plays on today. We mentioned the Mets. The Mets in a bit of a skid. They lost Griffin Canning. We don't know with Sanger hurt and Manaea dealing with some issues how the pitching's going to look here in the near future. How do you feel about the Mets with the Phillies on their heels right now in the NL East?
Yeah, you have to be concerned if you are a Mets fan or have a bet on the Mets, because we know that they were overachieving early in the season. They were being carried by their starting pitching, which was amazing. And I think they had a stretch too where they were using the same starters. And then all teams go through it. The injuries have struck. Kodai Senga was a massive loss, so they need to get him back. He's progressing well. Sean Manaea, it looked like he could be close, then had some pain in his elbow. They're saying it's not affecting his return. They really need him back because David Peterson's starting to struggle. All those injuries. Remember too, early in the year, the pitchers were not really going deep into games. So they were going to their bullpen early, and it worked for a while, but at some point, those guys were down. I mean, Reed Garrett could not continue to have an ERA under one. Brazelban was amazing. I mean, you can't expect those guys to keep it up. And the other problem is the lineup. If they don't get anything from the top four guys, they get nothing. That bottom of the order is a big problem. So, you know, I think the Mets are good, but last year, you know, everything broke right for them. They got hot at the right time and made that run in the postseason. They still have some flaws on this team. A lot of teams in the National League do, but if you look at the Phillies, if you're being honest with yourself, the Phillies are a better team than the Mets. You know, just because the Mets beat them last year in the postseason doesn't mean anything. If you got to go in and face Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, Jesus Luzardo, let's not forget Aaron Nola is hurt. I know he's been terrible, but that could be a blessing. He could come back, not have those innings on his arm. You know the Phillies are going to make a trade for a bullpen arm. That's probably one of the issues at the back end of the bullpen. The offense has been inconsistent, but yeah, I think there has to be concern as a Mets fan, but you know that they are likely going to be aggressive and make a trade, and they're going to need these young players to step up. Mark Vientos has been awful. He's got to go back to what we saw last year. They're going to need Brett Beatty, some of these guys to step up, because that bottom of the order right now, it's a lot of automatic outs.
The other New York team, it's funny, a couple of weeks ago, Yankees and Mets looked like in good shape to each win a division. Both had 5.5-plus game leads. Not the case anymore. Blip on the radar here for the Yankees, similar to the Mets. Do you think the Yankees bounce back? Is Tampa live to win this division? How would you handicap the Yankees and the rest of this AL East here as the Yankees continue to struggle swinging the bats?
Yeah, look, I hate the Yankees, but, you know, it's betting. You got to be objective here. I still think they're going to be fine. It's a long season. Every team goes through struggles. I mean, hell, the Rockies had a winning streak recently, right? So crazy things happen in baseball. The Yankees, I think, are going to be fine. Their pitching is really good. That's why with Max Fried, Carlos Rodon's had a great year. Warren has really elevated his game, especially in the strikeout department over the last couple of months. I know he struggled yesterday in that first inning with three walks, but bounced back and got through five and hit his strikeout prop as well. We've seen Clark Schmidt be solid. So they have the arms there. The offense is just struggling right now. Aaron Judge is in a little bit of a cold spell. But I think they're going to be fine. They're going to be bounced back. I do think Tampa Bay, though, is legit. The one different – Tampa Bay does this every year. It kind of doesn't matter who is on this team. They find a way to play themselves into contention. But what I really like is the top part of their lineup right now. I've always been a big fan of Brandon Lau. it's about health with him. He stayed healthy. He's been productive. Jonathan Aranda's having a breakout year. Already hit a prop on him today. His total base prop, it was even money. I don't know why. He crushes right-handers. So whenever you see him against a right-hander, take a look at his prop. Josh Lowe has been great. We know Yandy Diaz can hit. So they have more depth in this lineup. The one thing, too, to keep in mind is they played a lot of their games at home. You know, the MLB schedule makers put them home a lot early because of the potential rainouts in the summer they were worried about. That can hurt the hitters a little bit, but I think it's going to benefit their pitching, especially a guy like Zach Littell, who's been prone to home runs. But yeah, I do think the Yankees are going to be fine. I just think this is a slump that every team goes through, and I still expect them to win the division.
Adam Ronis is our guest at MB Fantasy Life, also SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio host. Check him out there. You do have a play coming up in Phillies Braves, which is an interesting matchup. Jesus Luzardo catching 144 as a dog on the road at the Braves and Spencer Schwalenbach. Atlanta minus 176, total 7.5. But I think you have a player prop in this one. How are you going to attack Phillies and Braves coming up 7:15 p.m. Eastern time?
Yeah, the Braves, obviously, just an awful performance last night. Phillies offense woke up, and it looks like if the Braves aren't playing the Mets, they look like one of the worst teams in baseball at times. But I'm going to go right back to Ronald Acuna here, because on over 1.5 total bases, it's plus 105 on one book, minus 103, minus 110 on another. We haven't been getting Acuna at this price lately, and you know, he has shown no signs of coming off a torn ACL. He's gone right back to being one of the best hitters in baseball, a 1.134 OPS since coming back, a 57% hard hit rate, 19% barrel rate. So he's had a couple struggles here. He hasn't hit this in the last few games. Going up against Jesus Luzardo, a lefty. We know he does very well against left-handed pitching. And I think it's a good spot here at home. Looks like it's going to be 86 degrees and hot. So anytime I can get Acuna at this price, again, he's one of the elite hitters in baseball. So I'm going to play that over 1.5 total bases.
This time last year, the Tigers, the Mets, neither was looked at as a contender. Mets, like you mentioned, came out of nowhere, made a deep run. Tigers did the same thing. Do you see a team like that that's flying under the radar you think can make a run deep into October?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Padres could be one, but I think they might be a little too high of what you're asking for. So if I have to look a little deeper, I think the American League is so wide open. That's why I think the Yankees are going to be fine. There's no team that I go that really scares me there. You mentioned Detroit. I think it could be Texas. I know they've been really disappointing, but if they can, you know, get some guys healthy, Corey Seager's really struggled. Homered yesterday. They got to get him back on track. Adolis Garcia's struggling a little bit. Semien has picked it up. You know, Jacob DeGrom's been really good. So if they can get some health back with their pitching, I mean, that's a team that could potentially make a run that's under 500 right now. And like you said, I mean, no one saw the Mets or Tigers, I mean, coming last year. As a Mets fan, I was stunned by that. I mean, it took a long time to believe that it was real. So, and the Tigers too. I mean, that was another team. I mean, if you would have said the Tigers in early August last year, you would have been laughed at. And both teams have been pretty good since. But I think Texas potentially, if they can get some health. The Astros are on fire right now and lead that division. But I think it's got to be a team in the American League. I think the Phillies, Mets, Cubs, Dodgers, Padres up top, Giants, like they're all really solid. So I don't see a team in the National League. I think it's got to come from the American League. And I think Texas, since they're under 500 right now.
Yeah, I mean, the bats can't get worse, and the pitching's been really good, and they should get better, right? And it feels like a team that's usually aggressive and wants to make some moves. Adam Ronis is with us here on the Progressive Guest Line, VSiN Live Bet Saturday. Real quick, just want to get your thoughts, because we touched on Judge and the AL MVP market. It shortened up a ton. Currently off the board, as of yesterday, he was down to minus 900, which is shortening up from about minus 3,000 a few weeks ago. How legit do you think Cal Raleigh's AL MVP case is?
I think you have to make a case for it. I mean, what he has done has been unbelievable. And the other part about it that stands out is that is not a hitter's park. What is one of the things that we've been talking about with Julio Rodriguez? It's the home park. So he's been doing it at home on the road. I went and looked at all his underlying stats. Everything looks legit. The thing is, though, look at the price on Judge, and that's with him in a really bad slump. We don't expect this to continue. So you don't want to pay that price for Judge, obviously. It's ridiculous at this point. I still think Judge eventually will win it. But the other thing with Riley that you have to worry about, too, is a catcher in the second half. Is he going to wear down? Is he going to be able to keep this up? I hope so. He's on my top fantasy team that's killing it. So I need it to continue. But I would still think in the end Aaron Judge wins this award.
He is Adam Ronis. Give him a follow on X at Adam Ronis, also Dub Club, and SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. Adam, thanks so much for doing this. As always, man, we'll chat again soon.
All right. Good time chatting with you guys.
That's Adam Ronis. Check him out over on X at Adam Ronis. As I said, he's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We've got a lot going on with Major League Baseball. The Mariners on the board have taken a 1-0 lead. Will and I both backing Seattle on the road at Texas. And we've got plenty of scores to touch on when we return. How has the market moved? And is this team worth betting to win their division at 3-1 right now? I'll run that by Will on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.